Well, again, to everyone here this morning, a happy new year to you and yours. Our great God has willed that we enter a new year, 2023. Praise the Lord for God's grace that not only has sustained us, that has strengthened us, that has provided for us, that's worked in and through us, but the same grace of God meets us today and carries us into a new year. A year ago, we started our 2022 with the theme, Growing in Christ. Every born-again Christian must be, will be, a growing Christian. There's no such thing as a rival as Christians are no longer needing to grow. There's no sense of as a Christian that I've heard it all, I've learned it all, everything's good in me. It's not true. All genuine Christians must be, will be, growing Christians. This past spring, our Sunday afternoon Bible study was on growth in Christ, also known as the doctrine of progressive sanctification. We considered mistaken views about how we grow in godliness, and we learned more clearly the biblical truth of growing in godliness. Through the year, we worked through Mark's gospel, concluding that study in October. Just as 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us, born-again Christian beholds the glory of Christ Jesus. They will be changed by that glory of Christ Jesus to be made more like him. And then finally, throughout the year, we pause to study Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. God's plan for the church is that the body of Christ individually and corporately as a whole would grow into full spiritual maturity in our Savior and our Lord, Jesus. So a question for you and me here, have you grown spiritually this past year? Has your trust in the Lord increased? Have you observed greater victory against sin in your life? Has your understanding and love for Christ Jesus, has it blossomed? Has it bloomed? Do you look less to yourself to find hope and wisdom? Do you look more to Christ and to his word for that wisdom? When the Spirit convicts you of sin, are you a little bit quicker to confess that sin, a little quicker to make things right with God and man? If you're married, how's your marriage? If you're a parent, how has it been going? If you're in the workforce, does your labor look more like Christ now than it did a year ago? In your personal walk with the Lord, do you know him better? Do you worship him more fully? Are you walking in humility in greater ways? Is Christ on your lips telling others the good news of the gospel? For you and to me, have you grown spiritually this past year? You know, God may be at work in your life in 1,000 ways, and you're only aware of just a few of them. And while there may be indeed be hundreds of ways that you and I need to grow, what is that next spiritual life in your life? What is that next spiritual step in my life that we need to take by God's grace and power? All genuine Christians will, slowly but surely, fits and starts, grow to be more like Christ. So are you growing? Today, I'd like to bring a conclusion to that theme of the year with some hope, a promise of hope, a promise from our Savior. While we are called to Holy Spirit empowered, grace-fueled effort in denying ungodliness and sin and pursuing obedience to God and love to one another, the hope of reaching that final destination, of reaching Christ-likeness, of achieving this growth of Christ-likeness, it does not rest on us. The promise of growth in Jesus is secured in the grace, the power, and the love of God. So in other words, I'd like to lift your eyes up from looking inward, as all my questions kind of set you up to do, instead of looking inward, to look upward to the marvelous grace of God in Christ Jesus. And from just one verse, you might already have it underlined in your Bible. It might even be one of your favorites in all of Scripture. Philippians 1:6. I believe we learn this. Jesus will complete his work in you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, born again Christian, Jesus will complete his work in you. So how does Philippians 1:6 teach us this promise? Well, it begins, I'm going to read again verse chapter 1, verse 6, and the verse says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." What's the first point in this verse that the Apostle Paul writes in confidence of God and confidence of the gospel of Jesus? He says, first, he began the work. God began the work. Christmas morning in my house is a fun time. We very much enjoy being able to share gifts. This year, we did something different with our boys where they had a very small budget, but to get one present for each one of their brothers. And it was really fun to see their joy as a brother opens a gift that was from them. It was a lot of fun. Well, Christmas morning at our house has been true for many years now. There's going to be those boxes that are impossible to pick up and wrap because you can shake and they make noise. The Lego boxes are impossible to keep secret. So there's Lego boxes and all these Lego sets show up. Alyssa and I are often amazed at the ability of our boys to put together some fairly complex sets. And then it gets even more so when their imagination kicks in, and then it gets all changed and modified and different, and it's, I have no idea how you built this. This is amazing. Wouldn't it be odd, even offensive, if after a child completed building that new Lego set, the set itself could somehow speak and say, "Look at me! Look at what I have done! Wow, I am an amazing Lego builder." Well, after smashing that Lego set to bits because it was talking to you, you might be a little offended at that. The set didn't build itself. The human builder did. And the set can take no credit for itself. The builder can take credit for that set. While the details will be different, the timing, the factors, the other people involved, the gospel came to all of us in the same way. All by God's grace. There's not a single Christian in here who can say, "Yep, I deserve to be saved. I'm so glad God finally came to me. It was bound to happen eventually because, man, I deserved it." Not one of us can say that. For all of us, that the gospel came to you, that the gospel came to me, is all of God's goodness and his graciousness given to us. We lost sinners, we're without hope to save ourselves. Our sin is great and we cannot overcome it. But God, as the New Testament says repeatedly, God in mercy and grace, he calls us to himself, this unconditional election. By his grace, we see the truth of the gospel for the first time. It's like, it's as if we were blind and then our eyes are opened and we see Jesus. We're regenerated. We're given this new birth. We believe by faith, which is this, God graces that to us. For every Christian, God himself began that work of the gospel in you. It's amazing to think about the greatness and the splendor, the magnitude of God. And friends, God, great big God, little bitty you and me, God brought salvation to you. Genesis 6:8 talks about this, or let me say it this way. This is a common repeated theme from cover to cover of the Bible. God began the work in Noah, calling him out from all the people on the earth to show his grace upon, in Genesis 6:8. God began the work in Abraham, calling him out from among his people in Ur to go to a land that God would show him, setting his covenant promises upon him, Genesis 12. God began the work in Moses, preserving his life from Pharaoh's plan to kill all the Hebrew baby boys, even raising him up in Pharaoh's house. That's an amazing picture there. then calling him to lead his people out of Egypt, giving his law to his people through Moses, Exodus 2 to 20. God began the good work in David, calling him out from among all his older brothers. You remember that? The prophet Samuel comes and he thinks it's the firstborn son. And the Spirit of God, nope, it's not him. Okay, the next boy, and they're all done. Awkward pause. Do you have any other boys? Oh yeah, there's the runt. He's out with the sheep. He's way out there. And that's God's gracious plan. Even to the degree that God's gracious covenant love upon David, that his sons would sit on Israel's throne forever. 2 Samuel 7. God began the good work in John the Baptist before he was even born. In Peter and John, calling them away from fishing to follow him. In Paul, on the road to Damascus. From cover to cover, that's just a brief introduction. The pattern of God's gracious work is always of his own gracious choice. He always does that. The confidence of God's spiritual work is always to the Creator. It's never on the creature. So where do we begin? January 1st, 2023, we're called to be growing Christians. We want to be growing Christians. Where do we begin? With this truth right here. Christian, the work of spiritual life, of spiritual growth in you did not begin with you. God started that work. And if God started that work, then we can rest assured that God will complete that work. What comfort that can give us. Maybe your spiritual life goes really well and you're just constantly plowing forward in victory. I'm not. And what comfort that is to me that the God of all things, he came close and he started that work. What grace. God, the one true God, has started the work in you. So Christian, Christ Jesus will complete his work in you. How? First, God himself has begun this work. The second thing the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 1 verse 6, he tells us this, he will complete the work. God, number two, God will complete the work. After the 70 years of exile, you remember in Israel's history, the kings rose, we had the descendants, we had the division of the kingdoms, we had the Israel and Judah, and then both end in despair, idolatry, abandoning the Lord. Both are conquered by other nations, taken off into slavery. Jerusalem is burned to the ground, the temple, the walls are burned to the ground, it's all destroyed. And for 70 years, the exiles live there in Babylon and then Persia. God moves in the heart of the emperor for some of the Israelites to return to the promised land. It's a beautiful part of Scripture there in Nehemiah 1 and 2, Ezra 1 and 2. When the exiles return, they have the task to rebuild the temple and to rebuild those walls. And they face intense persecution. There's the surrounding people around there. You remember, they have no army. They have no defense. They're sitting here simply at the good graces of God's work, of those kingdoms where they've come from. And those people around them begin to threaten them, to attack them, to harm them. And through some political maneuvering, in other words, political maneuvering means outright lying and leveraging, the work, it even stops for a while. Temple, it stops being built. The walls cease being built. That would have been a hard thing, right? Israel's exile, 70 years, you come back to the land, it's just a shadow of what it once was, but there's at least some work going on, and then it gets stopped again. It's interesting, I believe it's in, I'm going to get this wrong, I believe it's Ezra, I'm not sure, it's either Nehemiah or Ezra, forgive me. There, the people begin to worship. The temple, the altar gets rebuilt, and they begin to worship. And they're so afraid. Sometimes God uses fear for good. And they're so afraid of these nations around them and the harm that might come their way. They are following things to the T. They are worshiping the Lord. They're testifying of the Lord. They're just fulfilling that worship. They're doing everything right, and then it all stops. In the end, though, through Nehemiah's leadership and the work of many godly saints, the walls are rebuilt. They're rebuilt in record time, in 52 days. And the temple is rebuilt as well. The work was completed, all by God's miraculous provision and grace, and through the willingness and the Holy Spirit-empowered labors of God's people. The Bible does not shy away from a tension. And that tension is divine sovereignty and human responsibility. The Bible doesn't shy away from that tension. Spiritual growth includes Holy Spirit-enabled, faith-fueled effort. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Human responsibility, divine confidence in his sovereignty. Or 1 Corinthians 9, verses 25 through 27, the Apostle Paul writes, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. But note this clearly, brothers and sisters. The calling on the Christian life to put sin to death, and we are called to put our sin to death, and choose the narrow path of obedience, and Christians are called to obey what God has said, that work is ultimately not dependent on the Christian. We are called to obey. We are called sometimes to grit our teeth and choose obedience. We're called sometimes that we're going to trust the Lord, even though my emotions and my feelings and my mind doesn't want to. The work of being changed to be more like Jesus is God's work. And God always completes what he sets out to do. Always. Brothers and sisters, and all those questions I asked at the beginning, how are you growing as a Christian? I was kind of setting you up a little bit. Don't look inward for this growth in godliness, to your performance and your strength. Look to God. Look to your God who is completing his work in you. Christian, God is at work in you. When you feel pretty despaired, when you just be honest and it's, you know, I trust in Jesus. He is my Savior. I love him. But, you know, frankly, I just kind of feel like, man, everybody else here around here is doing pretty good. But, man, I fall short. Christian, you have confidence. God is at work in you. It's not how do you compare to anyone else in this church family or any other Christian you know. It's how do you compare to who you were 5 years ago, who you were 3 years ago, who were you a year ago or 10 years ago. You know, I think about that. I think about in just the last year, and this is a church family moment of just walking through life, spiritual life together, the Christian life together. I know of some in the church who've gone from never reading the Bible to reading the Bible 1, 2, 3 times a week. Praise the Lord. I know some who've gone from never admitting wrong to asking for forgiveness of others. Some have gone from listening to the sermon but just quickly forgetting it to during the quiet time of response, talking with the Lord, making decisions to the Lord. Some have gone from going through life not really considering God's role in day-to-day responsibilities to beginning the day asking God for wisdom. Some have gone from harboring bitterness to giving things over to the Lord. Some have gone from being some have gone from being really concerned about what other people think to instead coming to church just to serve. How? How is that possible? How is it possible that someone who is a certain way and a certain personality and a certain dynamics, that time can pass and they've been changed? That they're not the same. God's gracious work. Friends, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that God will complete his work in every born-again Christian. Jesus will complete his work in you. How? First, because he began the work. Second, because he has promised to complete the work. And third and finally, he will come again to fulfill the work. God will come again in our Savior Jesus Christ the Lord to fulfill the work. New Year's Day is a good day. It's a special day. It's a day to mark the calendar changing over. You get to deal with a month of writing the wrong year every time you have to write it out. It's a good day. Now Christmas, that's a very good day. Christmas is a great day. And if we start thinking about Easter, oh, I love Easter Sunday. That's a fantastic day. A wedding day, the day of a birth of a child, which we announced earlier there for our family and the church body. The day you or someone you love dearly confess their faith in Jesus Christ alone. Those are the best days. But friends, the very best day, the top dog day, is yet to come. The Bible is clear throughout. The day is coming where Christ Jesus will return. The day is coming where he will set all things right. His glory with his chosen people forevermore, never to be separated again. No second fall to occur. The day of Jesus Christ is coming. 2 Corinthians 3:18, I mentioned it earlier, and we all with unveiled face beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. How much more then when you see the face of Jesus Christ? Or 1 John 3:2, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the very best day is yet to come. You will see Jesus. There's a newer hymn that came out, I think it was just last year, by a group. We sing some of their songs often. I appreciate their scriptural emphasis, City of Light. And the song's name is On That Day. I just want to read some of the words. I believe in Christ, risen from the dead. He now reigns victorious. His kingdoms know no end. Through his resurrection, death has lost its hold. I know on that final day, I'll rise as Jesus rose. On that day, we will see you, shining brighter than the sun. On that day, we will know you as we lift our voice as one. Till that day, we will praise you for your never-ending grace, and we will keep on singing on that glorious day. Hallelujah, what a day it will be, for at home with you, my joy is complete. As I run into your arms open wide, I will see my Father who is waiting for me. Brothers and sisters, that blessed morning, that glorious return of our Savior, you and I will see Jesus. We'll see you. I was thinking with one of my boys this week about Peter, like, wow, like that's a real person, and he's in heaven, and we're gonna meet Peter. That's wild to think about that. Adam, all the jokes about Adam, we're all gonna be in heaven, and Adam's gonna be like way over in a corner, like not really wanting to, kind of bashful, not really wanting to say hi to anybody. We're gonna hug Adam, we're gonna love him too. We'll be all together. Friends, who cares? Who cares? You will be with Christ. It's unimaginable. We will be with God. Your battle with sin, over. Your struggle with this world, gone. Your prayers for God to change you and grow you, finished. You will all be completed and fulfilled. You will be with Jesus. You will be changed fully and finally. You will be with him forever. Glory. So friends, my church family, who I love dearly, Happy New Year. Happy New Year, Calvary Baptist Church. As our God has been faithful in the past, so he will be faithful in the future. The work that he has begun in you, he's begun in me, he's begun in our church, he will continue that work. He will bring it to completion at the return of Christ Jesus the Lord. Truly, all glory be to Christ. If we could have heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment. As God's word has been preached, you and I must respond. We have considered God's word here this morning in this verse, this very famous and beloved verse, Philippians 1:6. As God's word has been faithfully preached, you and I must respond. How would God have you respond this morning? Perhaps you, as we consider this truth together, we think, I'm looking way more on myself. I expect it all to be on me. I'm not looking on Christ as I should. And maybe in these quiet moments, you just praise the Lord. Just praise Jesus for his work. Praise him for the confidence. You kind of let your shoulders down and take that deep breath. Christ has you, and he's at work in you. Maybe you recognize that there's some aspects in your life. Maybe it's the opposite. You recognize that it's his work, but we got to obey. And there's a matter you need to confess and make right. And maybe finally it's just a response and joy of the day that's coming when you will see him. Just for just a moment here, the room will be quiet as we can. And right where you're seated, why don't you respond, talk to the Lord, pray to him. Father, thank you that we're together. First day of the brand new year, and we're together here in the house of the Lord. Thank you for gathering your people. Thank you for all the guests with us today and extended family. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you for the confidence we have that we can have in you. It's not make-believe. It's not made up. It's not twisting the scriptures. It's not the opinion of man. It's black and white on the pages of scripture. The confidence we have of salvation is God alone. The confidence we have of our lives being changed, it's God alone. The confidence that we have we will see you one day is God alone. Confidence is in you. Father, thank you for this promise. It energizes us. It encourages us. When we know the whole power of God is at work in us to change us, it gives us such hope, such joy when we're in the middle of that temptation, or we're in the midst of that fear and anxiety, when we're concerned, we're not where we should be. It gives us such rest, such comfort, such hope. God is at work. God is at work in me. Father, would you encourage us along the way? Would you help us to see those evidences of your work in our hearts? Would we be quick to offer that encouragement to one another? We see you at work in our brothers and sisters. Would we be quick to share that with them, to let them know that they would be blessed by that, they would be encouraged by that? Would we be the encouragers, the Barnabas towards one another in our church? And Father, fill us with joy. On the first day of the year, fill us with joy. Whether this year, whether through death or through your return, or in the years to come, as born-again Christians, we will be with you. Father, I pray for anyone in our gathering today that's not their testimony of saving faith in Jesus Christ alone. Would today, the first day of 2023, would that be the day of their salvation? Would you bring salvation to their heart right now, right here in these moments? In Jesus' name, amen.